You know, considering the way the weather is right now, and we're getting a second dose of winter, you wouldn't think that we're about to begin soccer season, but by golly, Saturday, it's the home opener. FC Dallas takes on New England, and the whole great season starts all over again. And that means that Dan Hunt, president and owner of the FC Dallas, is probably working entirely too hard, so we got him to sit down and take some time off. Good to have you with us.
Thanks, David. Thanks for having me.
So this is a big time, right? I mean, this is what you gear up for, I guess, all winter long.
You know what? This is what we live for. We had a great season last year, made the playoffs, but when you don't win a championship, it ends too fast. So I was ready for this day to come fast.
You know, soccer has come. You know, I've been following soccer in this town almost since the beginning. You know, with your father's the Dallas Tornado. And it took a long time. It seemed like the little kids liked it, and they would drag their parents out to games. But I guess we've gotten to the point where the little kids grew up, and they really want to go to games now and take their kids.
Yeah, the little kids have grown up, and they grew up with the game, and now they're taking their kids, and some of their kids are professional soccer players. That's what's so mind-blowing about the evolution of the game and having a hometown team like FC Dallas.
And this is really pretty good soccer, too. I mean, maybe the Germans wouldn't think so necessarily, but by golly, it's pretty good soccer. There's some pretty good players out there now.
You know, we had FC Bayern Munich 2 here about a couple weeks ago, and we played them, and I was on the phone with them this morning in Germany, and they said to me, yeah, you guys got pretty good soccer here in Dallas. It was a good result for the hometown team to get ready and kick off our preseason, and the game is just growing. It's growing so fast.
That's your sister club or whatever you call it. You have an association with them, right?
We do. It's a great partnership. It's a unique partnership because the values of the two clubs are so aligned, and we've been able to exchange ideas, players. We sold a player there, sold Chris Richards, one of our academy products, and who has a very bright future, and we're looking actually to hopefully bring in a player or two from Bayern Munich.
Talk about the way the academy starts, because I know you're over that too, but this North Texas has been a hotbed for soccer for a long time, and I gather some real quality players are coming out, but a lot of them are coming out of your program.
Yeah, it goes back to the Dallas Tornado. That really is what has made Dallas and North Texas a hotbed for youth soccer. All these young men who came over, they left Europe, they stayed after their playing careers and started clubs. I played for Bobby Moffitt.
Yeah.
I played against Dick Hall, who was the coach at Greenhill. Charlie DeLong, who's coach at Jesuit. You know, these guys transformed the soccer landscape. But what's happened is you've had families that have invested in the game. You know, from their kid's standpoint, they've been raised with soccer. Then the next generation plays soccer. And about the same time, we had the World Cup in 1994 here in Dallas, followed by MLS kicking off in 1996. Yeah. And with that became a clear professional path for kids to play soccer at a high level, get paid, represent the national team, and maybe go to Europe.
And my sense is that I think the sport's coming of age here, too. And to some degree, I mean, an athlete's an athlete. We were talking about Kyle Rowe Jr. the other day. I mean, Kyle was a great football player. And there was nothing I knew, no sport that I knew that he couldn't compete in. But he chose soccer. And I always thought it was smart because he wouldn't get his brains beat in, you know, playing football or throw out his knees, you know, doing baseball. You're benefiting by some of that, aren't you?
Yeah, well, Kyle is such a special case. He was a supreme athlete. Every sport he played, everything he did, he was great at. What we're seeing now is a new generation of soccer players here at the FC Dallas Academy. We start with kids when they're 6 years old. And we've actually have professionals today at FC Dallas that started with the club when they were 8 or 9, worked their way through our system. But what we're getting is the supreme athletes, the kids that were playing football, were playing basketball, playing other sports.
They're choosing to play soccer.
They're choosing to play soccer. If you look at our teams from 5 or 6 years ago, our top teams in the youth system, the players are so much bigger, they're so much faster, and with all the development stuff, they have better skills, better tactical awareness. It is really exciting for U.S. soccer.
But if they've got people at home they got to take care of, it. You still can't make as much money as you can if you make it, in basketball or baseball or football or something like that.
But the dynamics are changing with the pay scale and in Major League Soccer. It's quickly catching up to some of the top leagues in Europe. No, we're not England. No, we're not Italy. those, you know, pay scales are unbelievable. But where we have come in MLS, and I think where we'll go, it has to do with all the revenue drivers, you know, attendance, sponsorship. All those things are pushing up salaries in Major League Soccer.
Are the clubs healthy?
Yeah, they are healthy. You know, you look around and people don't really understand sports because I think they ebb and flow. I mean, we're exposed to football. We're exposed to basketball. The health of Major League Soccer right now is like nothing I've ever seen before. The people who want to buy a franchise are literally lined up out the door down the street.
You're kidding me.
I feel like the local Starbucks at this.
What, so television and broadcast in general has been so important to sports, and that's carried a lot of sports. Do you have a lucrative broadcast contract?
Our deal is good. The deals will be up at the end of 2022 and 2023. What I think is so attractive, and I know ESPN loves the relationship along with other networks, but we're up in every key metric against, you know, ratings, whereas other, you know, sports, that is not the case. You see major declines in other sports, but in soccer, it's up in every metric.
Well, and you also, I mean, I guess you go against baseball early on, but I mean, you shouldn't have as much competition, you know, for sports eyes, I would think, given your season.
Yeah, we have a little bit of baseball, you have a little bit of hockey, you know, a little bit of basketball, and then you get a break in the summer. And I think it's really incumbent on Major League Soccer to own Memorial Day to Labor Day, and then you're competing against the NFL.
Yeah.
And we got to get our playoffs. This is where the big TV contracts come. We got to get our playoffs to be as meaningful and important as the NHL playoffs. I mean, that's great hockey to watch. I mean, playoff hockey is amazing. And, hey, playoff football is amazing. If we can do that, you want to talk about lucrative TV contracts, then they'll be coming.
You know, I guess the other carrot dangling out there is the World Cup returns here, gosh, I guess it's 7 years or something, but that's the kind of thing, that's the kind of carrot dangling on the end of a stick that really keeps you going for a while. I guess, and we're competing for at least some of those games, right?
Yes, Dallas is in the mix. I mean, I would be shocked if we don't get selected, and I'm proud to be the chairman of the Dallas Host Committee for the World Cup. I've come a long ways. I was a ball boy in 94 to a chairman for 2026, but I would hope that we get a couple of group stage games in the opening round. I think Dallas is very capable of hosting the finals, and if not the finals, at least the semifinals. This is a major sports market. It is a powerful sports market. There are great teams here. They're global brands, and there's no reason that Dallas can't host the World Cup
final. It really is cool, because I now that you mentioned 94, I remember, because one of the teams, and I can't remember who it was, practiced out at Green Hill.
Well, hey, we were so fortunate in 94. We had the Brazil-Holland quarterfinal, which is one of the greatest five
maybe,
matches.
And by golly, it may have been Brazil that was practicing. But everybody was, all the kids were, maybe, you know, for a decade later, the kids were still buzzing about that.
Hey, we had the U.S. national team at St. Mark's during a time period when I was there in school. I graduated in 96, yeah. But they were there training. But, yeah.
Probably because they couldn't get in Green Hill. Dan Hunt's president and owner of FC Dallas. You're gonna win Saturday night?
Hey, that's the game plan. I am so excited about this team. New coach, new staff, new technical staff here. A lot of the same players are back. But our young academy projects have really come to fruition.
And it's a great venue. Yeah, Toyota Stadium is really cool anyway. We wish you a lot of luck. Have a good season.
Thanks for having me on.
Thanks a lot. That's Dan Hunt. I'm David Johnson. News Radio 1080 KRLD.